Money Control has been extensively covering all the news stories in the run-up to Budget 2020. We will continue to present the biggest and best stories before and after the budget with the help of top economists, experts and analysts. Stay tuned to moneycontrol.com or download the app now. Hello and welcome. You're listening to Budget 2020 podcast on Money Control. I'm Sakshi Batra and I'm going to be discussing today about the big expectations on the tax front with a very special guest today. And joining me on this podcast today is Ms. Preeti Khurana, Chief Editor of Clear Tax. Thanks a lot, Preeti, for joining in. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you, Sakshi.
We've already seen, you know, how the government has introduced corporate tax cuts just ahead of the budget as well a couple of months back. Now, do you think the government will actually go that extra mile to make individuals happy this time around by doing changes in the personal income taxes front as well?
Right. You rightly said, Sakshi, there is a lot of expectation. In fact, the expectations always build up around the budget time when people are looking for tax cuts. But the government is in a very difficult spot this time around with a drop in collections and economic slowdown. They're going to find it really hard to do any personal tax rate cuts. However, a tax rate cut can have a good impact on the economy. It can put more money in the hands of people, increase disposable income, and perhaps also increase household savings. Now, this is a scenario that the government would like to have. And also, given that there is a slowdown, the world is watching us, and it's an opportune moment to do something significant to sort of give a stimulus to the economy.
Yeah.
But like you said, tax collections have been poor, corporate tax rates have been extended, and therefore the government has to find the money to be able to allow any kind of tax cuts.
Yeah.
So a very, very difficult situation. Hopefully they will do something about it. That's all I can say.
Absolutely. So the finances are strained at the moment. So the government has to walk a very tight rope at this point in time in the upcoming budget. But there's one more thing that we've been very constantly talking about on Money Control as well. And that is how the unbundling of saving instruments under the Section 80C must be done in order to provide more deductions to the salaried class as well. So do you expect something to come in this way?
Right. So 80C was last time touched upon sometime in 2014.
Right.
That was when it was brought up from 1 lakh to 1.5 lakhs. And if you look at, you know, you look at historical how people have been claiming 80C, a lot of taxpayers are not able to maximize even today.
Yeah.
But there are certain high income taxpayers who have that kind of money and cash flows to make those investments. And like we discussed, this is a good time to give a boost to household savings. So increasing 80C would be an excellent thing to do in my view, because, you know, correspondingly, they look at PPF and they increase the limits there. It would mean that more people are contributing to PPF. So there is higher availability of funds with the government. And at the same time, you are reducing tax burden. You're increasing disposable income. So it's going to be a win-win for everyone. And like you said, it's very, very crowded. Section 80C has multiple expenses, multiple investments that one can go ahead and claim. So this would be a good time to sort of review it deeply and perhaps even bifurcate it or increase the limit in some way.
All right. So there is a huge lot of expectation on the, you know, in bifurcation of the 80C limit or maybe enhancing of the limit as well as far as the savings are concerned under this section. Apart from this, I have to ask you about equity markets and capital markets, because we talk about it day in and day out on Money Control. So what could the capital markets really expect from the upcoming budget, especially when we've seen how the LTCG was introduced in back in 2018 and how it dampened the sentiment and how the FIIs began selling, you know, in the Indian equities as well. So do you expect any kind of relief coming in on that front?
Right. So in the sense of capital gains, I think the government has been sort of doing a few things here and there.
Yeah.
But it needs a more comprehensive policy for all capital assets. But right now that we are talking about equities, only in the last couple of budgets, they introduced the LTCG tax.
Yeah.
And that must have been done with some thought process. So it would be good for the government to actually, you know, bring out policies, tax policies with a lot of thought and stick to them for a certain period of time.
Okay.
So having said that, of course, the taxes have sort of dampened retail investor sentiment, and they could perhaps do something. They could look at reducing that tax rate, or if they are not able to reduce the tax rates, they could look at extending the time period for holding from 12 months to perhaps 24 months. That would be a good thing to do, you know, because like we discussed, how collections have been poor. Therefore, expecting the government to completely do away with the tax that it introduced very recently would not be the right thing to do.
Absolutely. Now, many experts who we are speaking with already are also saying that levying tax on the long-term capital gains and on the listed securities, as well as the securities transaction tax, you know, the STT, that amounts to actually double taxation. Mm-hmm. So could you explain how this is deterring the investors to really go all out and invest in equities?
Right. So, you know, back in sometime in the 2000s, early 2000s, perhaps 2004 is when STT was introduced. And at that time, the intention was to curb any kind of speculative trading.
Yeah.
The government wanted to capture any kind of transactions which are happening on the stock market on listed equities through STT. And even today, if you look at the collections that come from STT, they're in the range of 9,000 to 10,000 crore rupees. And for the government, that right now may not be a huge sum, but yes, it adds to their kitty. The objective of the LTCG tax and the STT is completely different. So STT is there to curb any kind of speculative transactions, whereas the long-term capital gains tax is more like a policy perspective where they want to tax your gains on a long-term basis.
Right.
But saying that this amounts to double taxation is actually, you know, it's a vague argument, because the whole premise of introducing STT was something else, and LTCG, like, you know, we said, it's a change in policy direction. So perhaps, you know, now they need to look at all the capital assets, including property, look at debt funds, look at equity funds and equity shares, and then come up with a more comprehensive tax policy so that investors know where they're headed and then stick to that policy for a longer period of time.
Right. Now, Preeti, do you also expect anything on the dividends front, any change to the DDT, especially after when the direct tax code has also recommended an abolishment of this tax as well? So should it be done in your view, and how could the investors benefit if we actually see any change happening on that front?
Right. So dividend distribution tax is actually pretty regressive, to just put it out very blankly.
Okay.
It is regressive. Now, what really happens is that when a company is paying out dividends, it's paying you the dividends from its post-tax profits.
Right.
And before it pays out that dividend, it has to further deduct a DDT. And then that DDT is, you know, passed on to the investor, who will not pay any tax if his total dividend income is less than rupees 10 lakhs.
Mm.
So even though for a small investor, dividend income is free in their hands, imagine if you're in the 5% tax bracket, you have actually suffered tax because the company deducted DDT before paying it out to you.
Correct.
So it's regressive in that sense. And if you look at historically in the past couple of budgets, a lot of expectation builds up every time that the government will do away with DDT. Finance ministers have been, you know, often saying and publicly that DDT must go. But again, you know, it all boils down to what their numbers look like.
Yes.
Are their numbers adding up on the collections front? Will they be able to, you know, give space and do away with this tax? I think they may be heart-strained this time because of, you know, the revenue collections have been quite lackluster.
Absolutely. Not just the tax collections, but even the non-tax collections have been lackluster this time around. And you say that, right? But people are also expecting the government to really roll out some tax ops for home loans to support the real estate sector, which is completely in doldrums right now, especially after the period when we saw demonetization really hits the sector bad. Do you think that will be done, and that will be on government's radar in the upcoming budget?
Right. So if you look at the home loan segment, there it's actually plagued with a lot of issues. So, you know, there's stagnancy. People are not buying new properties. Loan markets have been lackluster. Then we've seen that even though they've passed out certain deductions in the previous budgets, where they said you could invest in two properties if you have capital gains up to rupees 2 crores, or they've come up with these various, you know, Awas Yojana and all of that. But I think this would be a good time time for the government to actually review all that they have done in the past and see where it has brought them, rather than doing any kind of small mini measures, to give a sort of a short spurt. It needs a more holistic review of, all that they have done in the past, all the deductions, the tax benefits that they have passed on, and what has been the real impact on ground. Because even though, we ask for a higher deduction for interest payouts, on EMIs, but then really how does it impact? Is there more pickup? Are people buying more properties? That doesn't seem to be happening.
All right. And lastly, I would want to ask you your wish list and your big expectations from the upcoming budget that you really, really think that the government should be doing at this point in time.
Right. Well, actually, I'm looking forward to a shorter speech, with less jingoism, a lot of realism. I hope the finance minister acknowledges that, yes, there is a slowdown. And then this is, I think, an excellent time for them to pick things up from where they are. They have enough run up. They have a couple of more budgets to go. So this would be a good time to set the stone for the coming years. And yes, because like we've been saying that there is a consumption slowdown. So something needs to be done on that side that has to be addressed.
All right. Thanks a lot, then, Preeti, for sharing all those insights. Well, from rejig of income tax slabs or rates or maybe to higher deductions, expectations are quite high from the upcoming union budget. Though tax rate cuts will definitely hit the revenues at the time, just like how you pointed out, when the government's finances are already quite strained. But will the government really push for growth in this upcoming budget? Well, it's only a matter of a couple of days before we really find that out. With that, it's a wrap on this edition of podcast. Many thanks for listening to us.
Thank you.